Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. If a foolish member of the twice-born classes, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, forces his wife to drink his semen out of a lusty desire to keep her under control, he is put after death into the hell known as Lala Bhaksha. There he is thrown into a flowing river of semen which he is forced to drink. Purport: the practice of forcing one's wife to drink one's own semen is a black art practiced by extremely lusty persons. Those who practice this very abominable activity say that if a wife is forced to drink her husband's semen, she remains very faithful to him. Generally, only low-class men engage in this black art, but if a man born in a high class does so, after death he is put into the hell known as Lala Bhaksha. There he is immersed in the river known as Shukranadi and forced to drink semen. Text 27. Yatriha vai dasyaro mita garada gramanam sarthan va vilumpanti rajano rajabhata va tamuschapi hi paretya yamaduta vajradamshraha svanaha saptashatami vimshatischa sarbhasam kadanti. In this world, some persons are professional conjurers who set fire to others' houses or administer poison to them. Also, members of the royalty or government officials sometimes plunder mercantile men by forcing them to pay income tax and by other methods. After death, such demons are put into the hell known as Sarameyadana. On that planet, there are 720 dogs with teeth as strong as thunderbolts. Under the orders of the agents of Yamaraj, these dogs voraciously devour such sinful people. Purport: in the 12th canon of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said in this age of Kali, everyone will be extremely disturbed by three kinds of tribulations: scarcity of rain, famine, and heavy taxation by the government. Because human beings are becoming more and more sinful, there will be a scarcity of rain, famine, and heavy taxation by the government. This verse is almost exactly repeated, except the ending. Because human beings are becoming more sinful, there will be a scarcity of rain and naturally no food grains will be produced. On the plea of relieving the suffering caused by the ensuing famine, the government will impose heavy taxes, especially on the wealthy mercantile community. In this verse, the members of such a government are described as dustu, thieves. Their main activity will be to plunder the wealth of the people. Whether a highway robber or a government thief, such a man will be punished in his next life by being thrown into the hell known as Sodom and Gomorrah, where he will suffer greatly from the bites of ferocious dogs.
Sampatyate yatra jalam iva stalam ashma prishtam avabhasate tad avijimat tilaso visiryamana salilona miryamana guna arupito nipatati. A person who in this life bears false witness or lies while transacting business or giving charity is severely punished after death by the agents of Yamaraj. Such a simple man is taken to the top of a mountain 800 miles high and thrown headfirst into the hell known as Abhijimat. This hell has no shelter and is made of strong stone resembling the waves of water. There is no water there, however, unless it is called Avijimat, waterless. Although the simple man is completely thrown from the mountain and his body broken to tiny pieces, he still does not die, but continuously suffers chastisement. Yastrihavai, Vipro, Rajanyo, Vaishyo, Va, Somapitas, Tat, Kalatram, Va, Suram, Ratasto, Pi, Bratastopi va pibati pramatatastesham nirayam nitanam urasi padakramyasye vanina dravamanam kashnayasam nisinchanti. Any Brahmana or Brahmana's wife who drinks liquor is taken by the agents of Yamaraj to the hell known as Ayapana. This hell also awaits any Kshatriya Vaishya or person under a vow who in illusion drinks samaras. In Ayapana, the agents of Yamaraj stand on their chests and pour hot milk and iron into their mantles. Oh my gosh, there's a few things you probably choose not to do. Purport: one should not be a Brahmana in name only and engage in all kinds of sinful activities, especially drinking liquor. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas must behave according to the principles of their order. If they fall down to the level of sudras who are accustomed to drink liquor, they will be punished, as described to the king. A low-born and abominable person who in this life becomes falsely proud, thinking I am great, and who thus fails to show proper respect to one more elevated than he by birth, austerity, education, behaviour, caste or spiritual order, is like a dead man, even in this lifetime. And after death, he is thrown headfirst into the hell known as Charakarana. There he must... That must be a mistake.
being much great suffer. The great should be taken out. And there he must suffer great tribulation at the hands of the agents of Yamaraj. Is that the text that you've got?
On the Vedavasa
it
says, there he must suffer great tribulation.
There he must great suffer. That's wrong. Should rise and leave it in trouble. Error. Purport. One should not become falsely proud. One must be respectful toward a person more elevated than he by birth, education, behavior, caste, or spiritual order. If one does not show respect to such highly elevated persons but indulges in false pride, he receives punishment in Chava Karadama. Okay. Be respectful to those worthy of respect. Translation, there are men and women in this world who sacrifice human beings to Vairava or Bhadrakali and then eat their victim's flesh. Those who perform such sacrifices are taken after death to the abode of Yamaraj, where their victims, having taken the form of Rakshasas, cut them to pieces with sharpened swords. Just as in this world the man eaters drank their victim's blood, dancing and singing in jubilation, their victims now enjoy drinking the blood of the sacrificers and celebrating in the same way. Okay. In this life, translation, text number 32, in this life some people give shelter to animals and birds. They come to them for protection in the village or forest, and after making them believe that they will be protected, such people pierce them with lances or threads and play with them like toys, giving them great pain. After death, such people are brought by the assistance of Yamaraj to hell, known as Shula Krota, where their bodies are pierced with sharp needle-like lances. They suffer from hunger and thirst, and sharp-beaked birds such as vultures and herons come at them from all sides to tear at their bodies. Tortured and suffering, they can then remember the simple activities they committed in the past. Text 33. Those who in this life are like envious serpents, always angry and giving pain to other living entities, fall after death into the hell known as Dandashuka. My dear king, in this hell there are serpents with five or seven hooves. These serpents eat such simple persons just as snakes eat mice. Text 34. Those who in this life confine other living entities in dark worlds, granaries or mountain caves are put after death into the hell known as Ayuranta Nirodhana. There they themselves are pushed into dark worlds where poisonous fumes and smoke suffocate them and they suffer very severely. A householder who receives guests or visitors with cruel glances, as if to burn them to ashes, is put into the hell called Pariyavartana, where he is gazed at by hard-eyed vultures, herons, crows, and similar birds, which suddenly swoop down and pluck out his eyes with great force. Purport, according to Vedic etiquette, even an enemy who comes to a householder's home should be received in such a gentle way that he forgets that he's come to the harm of an enemy. A guest who comes to one's home should be received very politely. If he is unwanted, the householder should not stare at him with blinking eyes, for one who does so will be put into the hell known as Pariyavartana, and after death, After death. And there, many ferocious birds like vultures, crows, and chocmeys will suddenly come upon him and pluck out his eyes. I wonder what a chocmey is.
Heron. Yeah.
Now, heron is a conker. Conker. Heron.
That's a bird.
It's a type of bird, chocmey. Chocmey. I wonder if it's... Text number
36.
One in this world, or this life, is very proud of his wealth. Always thinks, I am so rich. Who can equal me? His vision is twisted, and he is always afraid that someone will take his wealth. Indeed, he even suspects his superiors. His face and heart dry out at the thought of losing his wealth. And therefore he always looks like a wretched fiend. He is not in any way able to obtain actual happiness, and he does not know what it is to be free from anxiety. Because of the sinful things he does to earn money, augment his wealth and protect it, he is put into the hell called Suchi Mukha, where the officials of the Yamaraj punish him by stitching thread through his entire body like weavers manufacturing cloth. Ouch. Purple. When one possesses more wealth than necessary, he certainly becomes very proud. This is the situation of many in modern civilization. According to the Vedic culture, Brahmanas do not possess anything, whereas Kshatriyas possess riches, but only from performing sacrifices and other noble activities as prescribed in the Vedic injunctions. A Vaishya also earns money honestly through agriculture, cow protection, and some trade. If a Sudra gets money, however, he will spend it lavishly without discrimination, or simply accumulate it for no purpose. Because in this age there is no qualified Brahmanas, because in this age there are no qualified Brahmanas, Kshatriyas or Vaishyas, almost everyone is a Sudra, Kulo Sudra, Sambhava. Therefore, the Sudra mentality is causing great harm to modern civilization. A Sudra does not know how to use money to render transcendental loving service to the Lord. Money is also called Lakshmi, and Lakshmi is always engaged in the service of Narayana. Wherever there is money, it must be engaged in the service of Lord Narayana. Everyone should use his money to spread the great transcendental movement of Krishna consciousness. If one does not spend money for this purpose, but accumulates more than necessary, he will certainly become proud of the money he illegally possesses. The money actually belongs to Krishna, who says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 29, Bhaktaram Tavnitavasam Sarvalokameshwaram. I am the true enjoyer of sacrifices and penances, and I am the owner of all the planets. Therefore, nothing belongs to anyone but Krishna. One who possesses more money than he needs should spend it for Krishna. Unless one does so, he will become puffed up because of his false possessions, and therefore he will be punished in the next life as described herein. Nearly finished. A couple more verses. But these have got substantial purports. Yeah. Okay. Om Agnati Nirandasya Dhananjana Smakaya Chakshur Nitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Bhishtam Sapitam Tim Bhutale Svayarupa Kadaha Hayam Dhat
Svadhyam mukam karoti vacharam pangum nangayate girin yat kripa tamaham bande shri gurum dinacharinam.
Isavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatam jagatena jagatena kunjita marvida kasya svetanam. Everything animate and inanimate belongs to the Isha, the controller, the supreme controller. And the supreme controller provides facilities for everybody else. And the learned or wise person acknowledges the proprietorship not only of the Supreme Person, but also that the Supreme Person gives everybody a certain quota, right, for them to use according to their capacity, according to their inclination. In the service of the Lord. So there's an acknowledgement that there is an owner, a proprietor, and that proprietorship is respected. Recognition and respect. This is an understanding of the sambandha, of the relationships that exist within the creation, and that our first relationship or our first respect should be paid to the Isha, you know, the controller, the supreme controller. What is it? Ishvaraha Parama Krishna. He is the Parameshvara. Ishvaraha Parama. The supreme controller is Krishna. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. And then he has a transcendental, purely transcendental spiritual form. Even though he appears in the material world, he is not part of the material creation. He's transcendental to it. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Anadya Adi Govinda. He is the cause of everything. This is the unique characteristic of God, you know, the source of everything. He is the beginning of everything, but he himself has no beginning. Although actually all of the living entities are eternal. None of us have a beginning. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all of these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Na teva ham jatu na sam atvam na atvam. What is it, Chennai? Atvam. Anyway. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Which is a testimony to our conditioning, right? Because this is our natural position. But we think we have a beginning, a middle, and an end, because we identify with the body. Right? I'm this body, and I took birth. Because of the shock the challenge, the trauma, effectively, of dying and being reborn. We forget our spiritual, we forget our previous lives. This is the potency of energy of energy. Despite the fact that we're spiritual by nature, and you know that, and that's because of this transcendental to the material energy in reality, but still under the influence of our karma, of our past deeds, and the force of karma, effectively administrated by Krishna as a super soul who is within everything, but imperceptible, imperceivable. But under the direction of the super soul, we're all getting the rewards of our past activities. And we forget. We forget who we are and what our relationship is with the Supreme Person. And so the purpose of, really the purpose of human life, or the advantage of human life, is the opportunity to reawaken that identity. I'm not the body. And I am a spiritual soul. I have identity. I am someone. I am something. Right? This is the quest of life. Who am I? Or at least for the fortunate, the Kona Bhagavana Jeev, the Jeeva, the fortunate Jeeva asks the question, what the hell am I doing here? what happened? This is not right. I protest. This is not right. This is not what I want. All this suffering and confusion, ignorance, it's painful. It's painful. Why am I suffering? The first question, asked by Rupa Goswami to Lord Chaitanya, why am I suffering? I'm such a smart person that everybody says I am. Why am I suffering? So this is really a Tathagata Jigyasa. When one comes to the human form of life, then this is the inquiry. And then as a consequence of that inquiry, then one starts to understand, assuming that one's, and this is the importance of association of sadhus, sadhu sangha, is that one gets answers to these questions, these important questions, and the right answers, the correct answers. The advantage of associating with the sadhus is that one can have one's answers met. And also by their example, by their association, one can learn the proper behavior. That one should study the authorized texts and act on those instructions. Act in the proper and the correct way so that the inquiry can be fulfilled. But as part of that, there needs to be this respect. Respect for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, respect for the Shastra, respect for the sadhus, which is what really is pointed out here in this section of the Vedas. If you're disrespectful to others, be prepared to suffer. Right? Effectively. You know, last night was an interesting phenomenon. Because, and this happens in the summertime in Melbourne, you know, especially, the weather gets warmer. So out come the hoons, you know, and they drive their cars up and down, you know, the beach road and show off, do wheelies, rev their cars up, you know, spin their wheels, basically show off. You know, look at me, look how great I am. Yeah. And you know, I just look at him and think, you're a mug. you're not anybody. I haven't seen so many, is it VL? I think a VL Commodores in one place since a long time. And they were a good car, I had one of those. They were a reliable vehicle. A reliable vehicle. And it was the first of the Holdens with a fuel injection system. And actually had a Nissan motor. It was a motor built by Nissan. They're good cars. One I had lasted for a very long time. I did a lot of second time in there. Sold a lot of books out of that car. So anyway, it was quite a surprise to me because I hadn't seen that kind of noon culture for a long time. But that's what happens. It's a hot weather. The next day's a public holiday, so they all come out and show off. You know, but what a gross culture, really. You know, hot rods. Hot rods, spinning wheels. And basically, you know, showing no respect to anybody. Look at me. Real, it's a sort of kind of culture, very much. And they get pleasure out of that, some sort of pleasure, showing off. But it's such ephemeral, you know, such a pointless exercise in many respects. With a vegan culture, it's not about showing off. It's about keeping one's consciousness in a very ordered, structured way of life, a very deliberate way of life, so that the focus is on, if we're going to show anybody off, we want to show off Krishna, we want to show off the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his, you know, any qualification or any characteristic or any quality that we might have that's exceptional or outstanding. It doesn't come from us, actually. Ultimately, its source is in the Supreme Person. Its source is in God. And so the Vedic culture is to establish and increase that appreciation and understanding. And respect those in others. Not envy them and want to have them for yourself so that you can show off. Things are only temporary in any case. And so there's this understanding of things that are temporal, that are limited and temporary. And so there's not much value put in those because you may have wealth, you may have fame, you may have influence today, but tomorrow it could all be gone. If it's not tomorrow, it'll be the day after. And then what? You know, in that illusion of thinking yourself so great or so big or so hot, you then just offend others. Right? What's the benefit? What's the real benefit of those things? And then you suffer, as we see here in Bhagavatam. We behave in offensive ways towards others, there will be a reaction. There's a reaction even to these, you know, smaller, these really smaller things, you know, like cheating as a businessman. In this day and age, if you're cheating as a businessman, then you're praised. Oh, what a wonderful businessman he is. You know, they'll elect you to the highest office if you're the bigger cheater. Right? The bigger cheater you are, the more position you get. You know, some of these things that we described here in the Bhagavatam, for which you'll be punished, in this age, people think, oh, that's wonderful. You know, this is really good. So, we shouldn't be proud of our facilities, especially of our wealth here. But rather, we should use those facilities for the benefit of Krishna and spreading Krishna consciousness. Then we'll really be benefited. What's wrong with the camera? No, I noticed that it's flickering a lot in the last few days. Watching it at home.
Problem.
It flickers all the time.
So only sound, I just put it, this is having problem.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So, the message here is one should live an honest life, a simple life. A life that takes advantage of the facilities that are provided freely by Krishna. You know, Krishna is not a miser, and he's happy to share these things freely with everyone. But we're the ones who want to take everything and keep it for ourselves. And then, when we accumulate wealth, power, influence, fame, whatever, then we use it to abuse others, or primarily to disadvantage others, not to be charitable. This is why charitable man is gains fame. And when they're charitable without respect for return for themselves. So, we can learn from this section of the Bhagavatam many things, but that, you know, the prime duty of life is to utilize it for making advancement, primarily spiritual advancement. We're in the material world, but we're not of it. We are spiritual by nature. And the real benefit of human life is to reawaken our spiritual identity. This is the advantage. And not to utilize these facilities and so-called enjoy the material facilities, but end up inflicting damage and pain and suffering on ourselves in the future. So therefore the Vedic culture lives an ordered and structured lifestyle. And the Vedas give us instructions. You know, there are things, positive injunctions, the things that we should do, and there are negative prohibitions of things we should avoid. And so in these chapters of the Bhagavatam, on this chapter specifically, we're getting clear instructions. Avoid these activities. If not, here's the reactions. There will be reactions. And you know, the real benefit of the human form of life is to re-establish our connection by following the right path, if you like, the path of the Dharma. And you know, this is Krishna's purpose, right? Dharma samstapanam, right? This is our purpose, to establish the and encourage the performance of right action, if you like. That's what the Bhagavad Gita is about. Here's how you should act to ensure that you're making progress. There is right and there is wrong. Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points?
Hi, Krishna.
Hi, Krishna.
I was just wondering that when we go out on Harina, when people hear the holy name, or if they just sing, because you know, not everybody takes it up immediately. Like they chant the holy name, and then they get back to their sinful activities. It sort of reminds me a little bit of the story of Ajaman, because he was, but then he so they'll be saved from these hells. Will they be saved from these hells?
By hearing.
Yeah, like when they hear Harina, or they chant Harina, or they chant the holy name.
Eventually, yes. But Prabhupada gives the example of wet and dry grass. Right? If you try to light a fire in wet grass, what happens? Not a lot. But if you know, summer's coming up, at the moment the fields are all lusciously green, right? So the fire risk is low. Everything is still wet, solid. We're seeing it in the rivers, you know. The soil of the land is solid. So when it rains, water just runs off. And so, you know, the rivers and the creeks flood because of the spring rains. And it's common for floods, you know, now. So low fire risk, but, you know, February, after the end of summer, everything's dried out, just chuck a match, poof, up it goes. Right? So, most of the populace are like wet grass here. They hear the chanting Hare Krishna, and they may be attracted, but they're not inquisitive, they're dull. And so the fire of Krishna consciousness doesn't ignite. But if we're regularly chanting and people are hearing the Maha Mantra, they'll gradually, because this is the beginning. What is it? Shravanani, what's the first one? Nitya Siddha, the eternal perfection, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. The eternal perfection of Krishna Prem exists within the hearts of everybody, actually. It's covered over by, you know, lifetimes of ignorance. Sravanani Sudhachite, by hearing. The beginning, bhakti begins with hearing. And for many people, it's the hearing of the Maha Mantra. This is why the Maha Mantra is so important. We experience it, and we feel the effect of chanting Krishna. We feel it. primarily, our practice is chanting Krishna. That's really what we do. It is our prime means of purification. Hearing the mantra. So that constant hearing is like the sun, you know, drying out wet grass. There's benefit. It may take time. It will take time. It does take time. We see that. And there are Manushinam Sahasrishu Kaschi Yatati Siddhaya. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there are many thousands amongst men. Hardly one will come to the point of perfection, which means to understand that they're not the body, they're the spiritual body. That's the start. But not many people are like that. Manushinam out of thousands, Sahasrishu. So, and that's the way to do it, that's the way to bring them. So, do they benefit? Yes. Does it take time? Yes. Do they suffer in any time? Yes. Everybody is. Anybody who thinks they're not suffering is a fool. Right? So, to one degree or another, you know. So, it's imperceptible. It's hard to see, right? But you do. But you know, after the first lockdown, we were going out on Harinam. And people were so happy to see us. You know, you can see that. People are happy to see the devotees, to have the association. And hear the Mahamantra. Oh, great. The Hare Krishnas are back in town. Well, they like it because it's natural to them. So, yeah, we can see it gradually. It's having an effect. So that's why obviously we should keep chanting. But yes, it's having an effect. These are effects that are manifest on the spiritual platform. Right? And so we may not be able to immediately perceive the benefits. Yeah, may not be able to. But we feel it in ourselves, so we know that it must have an effect.
Thank you. May I ask one more question? That's okay.
Sure. Nobody else is.
Thank you.
I
also wanted to just ask a question regarding the offense to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. According to that offense, whatever is that, if someone knowingly commits sinful activities, they get the reaction of those simple activities and the reaction of the offense. So when it is said the reaction of the simple activities, is it these reactions, like the hellish planet reactions?
Sorry?
So we have one of the 10 offenses is that to commit simple activities on the strength of the holy name, where some people commit simple activities knowingly on the strength of, like, they know it's said that they do simple activities and they chant as well. But they know that it's simple and still they commit. So I have heard that if they do that, then they get reaction of the simple activity and the reaction of the offense as well. So when the reaction of simple activity is at these hellish planets, if because like it's quite like we read today, like it's quite
for devotees, you mean?
I mean, I'm not quite sure because if they are
for the devotees, these reactions here are not. But you know, if there's simple activities committed as a result of or in knowledge. And you know, I think Ajahnil is our example, right? So if a devotee meets some challenges in their spiritual life, it's a different situation to what's being described here, and Krishna mentions that the devotee will never perish, right? We look at Bharat Maharaj. So these are not, it's not a license to perform sinful activities, but we can understand that the devotees are under, Prabhupada says the devotees are actually under Krishna's care, if you like, and that the challenges that are faced by a devotee are all managed by Krishna. Right? But will there be reactions? There must be. Right? But not the type of reactions that we're seeing here. One will have to take birth, there will be undoubtedly suffering. And yet, if we surrender, you know, if we take advantage of the opportunities given to us by Krishna and the devotees, then we can get, a devotee can be free from, you know, whatever attachments they have. Basically, it's attachment. And learning to you know, it's the stage of anatta nivritti is where one has to chant and engage in the process of devotional service in order to be free from those attachments. Effectively, it's an attachment. And sometimes that's a painful process for which there will be reactions. But if one keeps taking advantage of the association of the devotees and the holy name and the shastra and is serious, is sincere, then purification will be swift and perhaps even painful. But it will. It. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Have you come to fix the computer system? Okay. Conservation by the time Kita is a proper Kita, you are not to be the Kita in America.
You're asking about Krishna.
The camera's not working. We'll look at it.
It's camera. This one.
Yeah. Is that right, Rajraj? What's happening with the camera? What's happening? What's happening with the camera?
So this wire looks like this became frozen.
Dharma has not in Melbourne at the moment, he's gone to Sydney. What?
This one, no. It will lose, he may not come back.
Oh, what if we get a new one?
Is it this one or this one? Socket itself is loose.
I think this is loose.
This is sturdy, Prabhu. I think that is the problem. This is very sturdy.
Yeah, Prabhu is going to get a new one.
But I think this is the problem. The box.
Mm-hmm.
The box is the problem, looks like. Because this is not loose.
Yeah.
That is loose, looks like. Yeah.
It's yeah.
It's very easy. I don't know if anyone will fix it.
That's it.
Because we take it off, put everything below.
Okay.
Possible. We'll change.
Yeah, well, we use this equipment.
If it works, it'll be around there.
You know, this is just a domestic product, right? And we use it in a commercial environment. So we need.
Yeah, I done the new way, so hopefully it comes up.
Why don't we just replace the whole lot? Right?
Ideal setup is not this one. We just need to have a box which streams from here, everything is in one car unit, like the barracks streaming device is doing. We just take the output from the sound and that does everything. Single device. So the camera and the box should be mounted here. We should not have all these things. Maybe a screen here.
Is it doable? Is there such a thing?
Yeah. Commercial equipment.
So the cable, what is it?
I have to find out. Because I remember seeing it long time ago when I was doing the audio. Is there something for this video also? Because once the temple opens, we can't maintain these cables. We just need one single unit. It has a screen.
And that unit then is able to process the signal.
Yeah, it has a mini processing device.
Is there any adjustment on it?
Yeah, the screen is available as well in the front. I did long time ago, I had a look at it because they are their equipments which we can stream with everything mounted on the tripod. And camera can be different, but the output of camera can be connected to that.
What's it called?
I can't remember, if I have to check. But this is only for Bhagavatam class, isn't it? Or you want everything to be connected to this? Because this has to be separate from the other ones.
Well, see, according to information that I've received, we need to have a computer but I prefer that, you know, if we could just have a single unit without all of this, it would,
because Bhagavatam class we have,
you know, this is just gods.
Yeah. So
no,
that's why
this is just gross.
The fixed system can be separate from the Bhagavatam class one.
No.
This is for the dedicated Bhagavatam class.
Yeah.
So it can be a single unit. Camera will be different, but that can be put
right
into.
You do the research.
I'll find out. I'll let you know.
What is it? A broadcast? Broadcast?
Live broadcast pod. I can't remember when I long time ago.
Hmm.
It's audio visual equipment, that's where you're going to find it, isn't it?
Yes, sir.